Are you a teacher who is feeling stressed out and overwhelmed? Do you worry that you're feeling symptoms of burnout? Or are you sure you've already gotten there? Have you started to dream of doing something different? A new job? Perhaps pursuing an entirely different career, but you don't know what else you're qualified to do? You don't know how to start a job search, and you just feel stuck? If that sounds like you, I promise you are not alone. My name is Vanessa Jackson, and I am a career transition and job search coach, and I specialize in helping burnt-out teachers just like you deal with the overwhelmingly stressful nature of your day-to-day job and to consider what other careers might be out there waiting for you. You might ask, what tools do I need to find a new career? Are my skills valuable outside the classroom? How and where do I even get started? These are all questions you deserve answers to, and I can help you find them. I'm Vanessa Jackson. Come and join me for Teachers in Transition. Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Teachers in Transition. I am your host, Vanessa Jackson. I'm a compassionate career transition and job search coach. I am here to help you reach your goals and figure out how to translate your teaching skills into skills for your next career. I provide tips and suggestions to help with stress and mental health, hacks to help your day, and job hunting tips. If you are frustrated with your current teaching position, you are burned out and overwhelmed, I am here for you. Today on the pod, we are going to talk about how to deal with a bad evaluation. We are getting into evaluation season, and teachers are often blindsided by the post-observation meetings and valuations. I'll share a few money-saving tips, and lastly, we'll talk about examining your social media to make sure that it isn't working against you. Today, in our segment on stress and mental health, we are going to talk about dealing with a rough teacher evaluation. I taught a long time. Kids loved being in my classes. In my last year of teaching, the idea of evaluating teachers was mostly an exercise in futility. In my first walkthrough, things went great. I never got feedback on that. The excuse was that the Wi-Fi in my wing was sketchy, so it didn't upload, and therefore, the walkthrough expired. In my head, I was questioning the sketchy Wi-Fi. It was the same Wi-Fi I had to teach with and my students got to learn with, but I couldn't do anything about that. So the evaluator shows up on the early dismissal day on the Friday before Halloween with pen and paper, so the Wi-Fi isn't an issue. The problem was that every single student in that class period wasn't at school. They were all Zooming in online. The lesson was an interactive session on the DSERA from a podcast titled 20,000 Hertz. I have linked the episode in the show notes. The kids really enjoyed it. They could jump in with comments and ask questions in the chat, which I could respond to all while the podcast was playing. They were very engaged. Unfortunately, that was impossible for an evaluator to evaluate with only paper and a pen in the room. Nothing was ever filed on that one either. My last formal evaluation happened during a class where the students were so uncomfortable with the evaluator in the room that they clammed up and became unnaturally quiet. I expected that to be poor. I didn't expect the paperwork to never get filed and 2 months later to have the evaluator frantically come to me to redo it. This time, we did this in a class that was more active. But the post-observation conference was harsh. It was via Zoom, which was my choice entirely. I was dinged for some campus something. I expected that. I was already labeled difficult for calling out things that seemed poorly executed and advocating for my department. But then I got dinged for not providing a positive classroom environment. And I was devastated. I gave my kids a home in the school. I've had kids talk to me when they wouldn't talk to anyone else. I got that achy feeling at the back of my jaw and my eyes started to well up, and I just stopped interacting. There was a third thing I got dinged on that I do not remember. It's all quite arbitrary anyway. When my evaluator finally realized that they'd been talking away for quite a bit, they finally asked, "What do you think?" And all I could say was, "I don't know what to think anymore." And that, friends, was the moment that I decided, no matter what else, that was my last year in the classroom. There are ways to respond and rebut. I did. If you belong to a teacher union or organization, make sure to talk with them because states have their own rules and guidelines. Here in Texas, you have 10 days to respond in writing to something like that. And if you aren't sure whether it is 10 business days or 10 calendar days, that's exactly why you need to belong to your union or teacher organization. Your dues pay for staff lawyers that you get access to. Document, document, document. When in doubt, give yourself calendar day deadlines to make sure you aren't missing them. For those who embrace Christianity, we are winding up Holy Week and Easter is tomorrow. Not everyone is Christian, and not everyone even believes in religion, so I promise I'm not getting ready to try and convert anyone to anything. I do identify as Christian, and I am even the piano player at my church, so I pay more attention to the sermon and the lessons than I might if I sat in the back. Last Sunday was Palm Sunday, and as I was listening to the story of Jesus' triumphant ride into Jerusalem and ending with his placement in the tomb, I realized that Jesus gives a very nice blueprint on how to handle a moment where you are having to sit through a bad post-evaluation conference or one of those little conversations where you are eviscerated for what feels like everything you do, say, feel, and are. At this point in the story, Jesus had been called before the Roman prefect because his local government crew wanted him dead, and they didn't have the legal means to make that happen. They needed the Roman government to do it for them. The area prefect, Pontius Pilate, didn't really want to put Jesus to death, but he couldn't have people rioting in the streets either, so he was asking questions to Jesus to try and get people to see reason. Jesus didn't say much. It's like he knew that no matter what he would have said, it didn't matter. As Pilate repeated the accusations to him of what he'd done, Jesus said nothing, or, "That's what you say." But he didn't add anything that might add fuel to the frenzy whipping up around him. Here's a more secular story to illustrate the same point. When I was in college, I drove a 1981 Ford Thunderbird, black with red interior. That car was so square that I used to joke that the only round parts were the steering wheel and the tires. In or around 1984, Texas put a law in place about window tint. Basically, you couldn't turn your car into a mini limo. That law applied to cars made in 1984 or newer. That little T-bird had the extra dark tint on it. My dad told me that if I was ever pulled over for that, to just say yes, sir, no, sir, and take my ticket without complaint. In court, all that was necessary was to point out that the law wasn't applicable to my little car, and that ought to be that. Sure enough, I was pulled over in 1995 for tint. The kicker was that we had just had new tint put on to comply with the state law. But I didn't argue. With what I now know that college-aged Vanessa did not know was that the whole stop was part of that model where they use a piddly little traffic stop to have an excuse to possibly find something bigger like drug smuggling. There was no probable cause to search my car, but I just knew to be polite and compliant. All that officer found in my trunk was a Monopoly board game whose sides had broken, and it was just Monopoly paraphernalia strewn about the trunk. I walked away with a warning about my tint, with the official comment being that it was less than 1% out of compliance. But I digress. The point is that I wasn't going to win that fight in the field. I was going to have to fight any tickets in court, So it's best to say next to nothing. There is no point in arguing when someone isn't interested in hearing a different side. Silence can be your friend. Silence can make the other side of the table increasingly uncomfortable. Address any issues in writing with documentation after the feelings have settled. You will have more impact than melting down in the conference. We talked last week about armoring up. Let silence or a very limited vocabulary be a piece of that. If you aren't feeling the Christianity angle, try the Princess Bride. But instead of as you wish, it is as you've said. Then you can deal with your feelings and take the next steps with adventures and documentation, and hopefully a lawyer's guidance from your teacher organization or union. But remember this, that one moment in time is not necessarily an accurate measure of your skill. It was a snapshot of one class in one day from one person's perspective. And this one person may or may not know your subject and appropriate pedagogy. And this one person may or may not understand the unique circumstances that might have come up in your classroom on that day. And on to our little money hack. Our money hacks are designed to save you a few cents here and there, because any money you don't spend is money you can bank for what you need when you are job hunting. Electricity is a huge black hole of money. And down here in the South, we're in the preheat mode before the weather really starts to attempt to cook us. Some quick hacks to consider. Number one, the washing machine. Keep it on cold, cool, or eco-warm. Using hot water uses a lot more energy. Save the hot water cycles for really nasty loads. If you want wider whites, a clothesline will be more effective than hot water, assuming your HOA allows it. Not that I care about wider whites, but I do like how a clothesline can help you eliminate the need for using the dryer as often. That's another energy hog. In some countries, they have a rack that kind of stores up by the ceiling, and they'll pull it down to hang clothes on, and then they'll kind of push it back up to let those clothes dry out of the way. And don't use fabric softener. Don't at me on this. Fabric softener costs money, and what it really does is make the clothes more flammable. I'm adding a link in the show notes to a collegiate science project where she shows that not only did fabric softener make the clothes more flammable, those clothes got more flammable with each successive use. It also makes towels less absorbent. Save your money. Note, dryer sheets are safe and don't fall in the same category as fabric softener. And of course, number three, turn out lights when you aren't using them. Power strips are nifty because you can turn off a whole power strip and any of the devices plugged in no longer draw energy. As you look around any room in the dark, every light you see not only intrudes on your sleep patterns, but it's also drawing energy. I am a mean, mean mom. And after my son graduated high school, I required him to chip in for rent and utilities. It was a token amount, and it all went into a savings account for him. Anyway, there was this interesting side effect that I wished I'd stumbled upon much earlier. He was now responsible for a percentage of the light bill. He was now incentivized to reduce usage because it affected him directly. That may have been horribly obvious to some of you already, but I was delighted that I wasn't having to follow him around and turn everything out. Your kids may not be in a similar place where they are working, so you might need creative ways to illustrate the same point. If your kids get an allowance, consider having them put a portion back based on usage. That gets saved up for them for later, of course. Or use treats, time, or other desirables to illustrate the point. I'm happy to help brainstorm with you if you like. I love a good challenge. And now it's time to move to our job hunting segment, social media and your job hunt. Did you know that many companies will vet your social media profiles as they begin to look at you more seriously? Yep, some do. You need to become your own stalker and go through your social media. Thankfully, I was too old for most of my egregious stunts to appear on Facebook in picture format, but that isn't true of everyone. Wild party pictures, pictures of you at questionable events, and more. Those are all things that it may be time to make visible only to you for your memories. I need to define questionable events. Sadly, it's a broad category. Everything political falls in this category. Regardless of your personal political beliefs, approximately half the country doesn't agree with you. And you have no idea whether the people looking at your profile vote the same way you do or not. Number two, beef and drama. No one wants to hire a whiner, a complainer, or someone who brings nothing but drama to the room. If you have posts, particularly an excessive number of posts that call people out for reasons that they know, it's probably too dramatic. Number three, conspiracy theories. I love a good conspiracy theory, but I don't necessarily believe them, nor do I wear tinfoil hats. Don't make it look like you do. Number four, don't be too perfect. No one believes it. It's okay to leave posts about things that went bad or went wrong. In fact, those moments can show resilience, problem solving, and flair. If you're worried, just hold it up to your drama detector and compare it to our rule of thumb coming up shortly. Number five, complaints about your boss. Huge no-no here. Back when I was dating, I would never consider dating anyone that I could take away from their current partner. If they would leave someone for me, they would leave me for someone eventually. Same thing applies here. If you're talking badly about your boss now, a future boss can only assume that you'll be one day talking badly about them. A good rule of thumb as you scrub through your social media past is to ask yourself, how would you feel about having to view that post with human resources in the room? Remember, your social media is your personal brand. Lean into the things that you want known about you. And make private all the things you don't. Facebook has a setting where you can make a post visible only to you. Use it as you need it. I hope some of this was helpful today. After deciding on my topics, I went down a rabbit hole of my own on my webpage, so I want to warn you that this could take a while to completely comb through. So be prepared for it to take a chunk of time, and maybe consider breaking it into smaller, more manageable tasks. If you like this podcast and find it helpful, suggest it to a friend. With all the technology that exists, the number one best way to help a podcast keep going is to tell others about it. So share away. And join me on Facebook. The Teachers in Transition Podcast Club is a place where you are welcomed and wanted. Come on over. You can also ask me specific questions, and I am happy to answer them. Just search for Teachers in Transition Podcast Club, and it comes right up. But I also have a link in the show notes. If you are stuck in your job search or are having trouble getting started, reach out to schedule a complimentary discovery call with me to see how I can help you pivot careers and find the job of your dreams. And next time you're scrolling social media, stalk yourself a little bit and look with the eyes of a potential hiring manager. That's the podcast for today. If you liked this podcast, tell a friend and don't forget to rate and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. Tune in weekly to Teachers in Transition, where we discuss job search strategies as well as stress management techniques. And I want to hear from you. Please reach out and leave me a message at teachersintransitioncoaching@gmail.com. You can also leave a voicemail or text at 512-640-9099. I'll see you here again next week. And remember, you are amazing.